Parshas Truma comes directly after Parshas Mishpatim, which, as we explained last week, is be'emes a continuity of Matan Torah, and the Ramban in the Hakdama to Sefer Shemois wants to know what's going on here. Why the Sefer Shemois, which ostensibly was supposed to be on the topic of Yitzias Mitzrayim, did not finish at the end of Parshas Mishpatim? That's what the Ramban asks. It should talk about the Parshas of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah HaTorah and all that involved. That's understandable. But Truma, till the end of the Sefer, it seems to be a addendum which doesn't fit into the picture of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says the Ramban, a tremendous teretz. We read out his Loshon. He says a Loshon, I'm not going to go Loshon. He says, the main purpose of Sefer Shemois is getting out of the Golus. He says, they're not out of the Golus until they have a Bais HaMikdash. That's what he says. HaGolus Einem Nishlam Ad Yoim Shuvom El Nekoimam Val Malais Avoisom Yoshuvu. And that status of the great Madrega to which they're supposed to return, they did not get back to until after the Mishkan. And therefore, since the Geula is not getting out of Mitzrayim, the Geula, he says, is becoming independent totally, having one's absolute independence. Out of Mitzrayim is not full independence. Kabbalah Satira is not full independence. When do we have full independence? When we have a Beis HaMikdash. When we have a Beis HaMikdash or a Mishkan. We have, in the Loshon of the Rabban, Soid Eleika Alei Oholeim, the secret of having Shechina all over them and being encompassed in Shechina, then they're out. The big problem of Golus Mitzrayim on top of the Shibud was Golus HaShechina. Revelation of Shechina on a perpetual way, meaning not just having a one-time revelation like Mamar HaSinai, but that Mamar HaSinai should continue non-stop, as the Rabban and the Parsha Shvu explains what the Mishkan is. It's a perpetuation of Mamar HaSinai. That's Geula. And therefore, it's quite obvious that Parshas, Tuma, Tetzavik, Yitziso, Vayakit Tekudeh, they are part of the Sefer HaGeula. They are not just an added point. Obviously, before we actually understand the connection of what's so special about the Mishkan, how that fulfills this idea of getting out of the Golus, before we explain that, we must start with a point which appears to be a side point, a very important one, but in actual fact, it's integral for the whole understanding of the sugya. The opening pasuk of the parsha is, V'yikru, Dabar ben Yisroel, Kodesh Baruch Hu, told Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the Jewish people, V'yikru li truma, you should take from me a contribution, Me'ez kol, Asher Yedvenu Liva, from everybody who will contribute, Tikru estru bosi, please take my contribution. Roughly translated. This was the first Magbit in the Jewish history. There's been many since then. Not the last. It was the first collection, the first time a public request for funds. And I repeat, it wasn't the last time. It's going on and on. And maybe this is the arch prototype. It's the artifus. It's the arch prototype of all real, correct collection for theoretical purposes. So you can't leave that out. That's really important. But we'll see later that it's not just coincidentally important. And we've already revealed one point which is very obvious. If Hashem was interested in making a Mishkan out of gold, silver, tcheles, argoman, etc., who is the best supplier of those materials? Hashem himself. And yet more. The very gold and silver which the Bnei Yisrael had, where did they have it from? They didn't do such good geschäften. They hadn't done any good deals which brought it in. They weren't sochrim. They didn't earn a lot of money. There was no high tech there. Where did the money come from? Bezos Mitzchayim, Bezos Hayom. That's a matona direct from Hashem. So Hashem sent them the money in order to take it into Mishkan. He could have done it more direct. He could have sent some to the Bezos Hayom for them and made a truma striped on the spot. Go straight into their pockets. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Take care of it directly. It's really holy, not contaminated by human fingers. Would be nice. Uncontaminated by humans. Ed Kishpoch didn't do that. He said, Dafke goes through humans. We'll yet see why. And this is a very integral point in understanding. Before that, there's a diktuk in the Lashon. The Lashon, Lachura, should be, Dabar Abedin Yisrael, speak to Jewish people, V'yitnu li truma. V'yitnu means they should give a contribution. And the Lashon of the Pasuk is, V'yikru li truma, they should take a contribution. You don't take contributions, you give contributions. There are two levels of biurim in this which we want to get across, which are very important. Level number one. It is correct. A person who pays something which he does not have pleasure from paying, when he has paid it, he feels somebody's taken something from him. He has been taken from. But somebody who understands that there is an opportunity of buying some shares, some very special, unique shares, shares which I don't know how they call them, but they're called preferential shares, I think, but something which the people who know about them know they're really going to go to the top. And not everybody gets a right to buy them. Only specific people. And he gets the right to buy them. Does he feel he has been taken from? Or does he feel he's bought, he's given? A great opportunity. Gewaltig. I was zeiche to get those shares. The Mishkan is being made by Klal Yisrael. By everybody is going to have made. Can you imagine among the Jewish people, put yourself in the position, they have in their pockets money. Shkoyach. Do they need to buy shoes? No. Do they need to buy clothing? No. Do they need to go to washing powder? No. Do they have to buy meat? No. What do they need? Nothing. What do they have the gold for? Take it to the Mishkan. What do you think the Eden would like more than having a chedek in the Mishkan? What would a person like more than having a chedek in the Mishkan? The Eden understood it was a prerogative. It was a zchus. It was a just full right that they were given the opportunity to contribute to the Beis HaMikdash. The Yikru, they felt that they bought something. They got something. They received by their giving. Do you hear that idea? Not the Yitnu. We're not being told the Yitnu, they should give. When a person gives, he's lost. The Yikru, they've gained. The Yid who did not understand this, we didn't want his contribution. You hear? The Yid who thought he was giving, he told Zeit gesund and stay at home. We don't need your contribution. In fact, we won't take your contribution. We don't need it. You know whose contribution we need? The one who understands, Shkoyach, you gave me this chus gadol to be able to participate in being a base of Mikdash. Thank you, Hashem. That was the Yid who we were looking forward to get. So the Apostle Givalt, Daber Abnei Yisrael, the Yikru li Truma. We were talking that Yidden should take from here Truma. Obviously, before we actually understand the connection of what's so special about the Mishkan, how that fulfills this idea of getting out of the Golus, before we explain that, we must start with a point which appears to be a side point, a very important one, but in actual fact, it's integral for the whole understanding of the sugya. The opening pasuk of the parsha is, V'yikru, Dabar Bnei Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, told Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the Jewish people, V'yikru li truma, they should take from me a contribution, me'eis kol, asher yedbenu liba, from everybody who will contribute, tikru estru bosi, please take my contribution. Roughly translated. This was the first magbit in the Jewish history. There's been many since then. Not the last. It was the first collection, the first time a public request for funds. And I repeat, it wasn't the last time. It's going on and on. And maybe this is the arch prototype. It's the archipus. It's the arch prototype of all real, correct collection for theoretical purposes. So you can't leave that out. That's really important. But we'll see later that it's not just coincidentally important. And we will already reveal one point which is very obvious. If Hashem was interested in making a Mishkan out of gold, silver, treles, argoman, etc., who is the best supplier of those materials? Hashem himself. And yet more. The very gold and silver which the Bnei Yisrael had, where did they have it from? They didn't do such good geschäften. They hadn't done any good deals which brought it in. They weren't sochrim. They didn't earn a lot of money. There was no high tech there. Where did the money come from? Bezos Mitzrayim, Bezos Hayom. That's a matona direct from Hashem. So Hashem sent them the money in order to take it into Mishkan. He could have done it more direct. He could have sent some to the Bezos Hayom for them and made a truma strike on the spot. Go straight into their pockets. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Take care of it directly. It's really holy, not contaminated by human fingers. Would be nice. Uncontaminated by humans. Ed Kushbacher didn't do that. He said, Dafke goes through humans. We'll yet see why. But this is a very integral point in understanding. Before that, there's a diktuk in the Lashon. The Lashon, Lachura, should be, Dafke Rabbein Yisrael, speak to Jewish people, V'yitnu li truma. V'yitnu means they should give a contribution. And the Lashon of the Pasuk is, V'yikru li truma, they should take a contribution. You don't take contributions, you give contributions. There are two levels of biurim in this which we want to get across, which are very important. Level number one. It is correct. A person who pays something which he does not have pleasure from paying, when he has paid it, he feels somebody's taken something from him. He has been taken from him. But somebody who understands that there is an opportunity of buying some shares, some very special, unique shares. Shares which I don't know how they call them, but they're called preferential shares, I think. But something which the people who know about them know they're really going to go to the top. And not everybody gets a right to buy them. Only specific people. And he gets the right to buy them. Does he feel he has been taken from? Or does he feel he's bought, he's given? A great opportunity, gewaltig. I was zeiche to get those shares. The Mishkan is being made by Klal Yisrael. By everybody is going to have made. Can you imagine among the Jewish people, put yourself in the position, they have in their pockets money. Shkoyach. Do they need to buy shoes? No. Do they need to buy clothing? No. Do they need to go to washing powder? No. Do they have to buy meat? No. What do they need? Nothing. What do they have the gold for? They give it to the Mishkan. What do you think the Eden would like more than having a chedek in the Mishkan? What would a person like more than having a chedek in the Mishkan? The Eden understood it was a prerogative. It was a zchus. It was a just full right that they were given the opportunity to contribute to the Beis HaMikdash. The Yikru, they felt that they bought something. They got something. They received by their giving. Do you hear that idea? Not the Yitnu. We're not being told the Yitnu they should give. When a person gives, he's lost. The Yitnu they've gained. The Yitnu did not understand this. We didn't want his contribution. You hear? The Yitnu thought he was giving, it's on Zeit gesund and stay at home. We don't need your contribution. In fact, we won't take your contribution. We don't need it. You know whose contribution we need? The one who understands. Ah, Shkoyach, you gave me the schus godel to be able to participate in Bnei Beis HaMikdash. Ah, thank you, Hashem. That was the Yid who we were looking forward to get. So the Pasuk is Gevalt. Daber Bnei Yisrael, the Yikru li Truma. We were talking that the Yidin should take from me a Truma. What over here has to be told, says the Tversian, the Hemet Dover talks about it as well. This is a concept which all the Sforim talk out and everyone in their own Lashon. Beautiful idea which is a geir to understand. Moshe Rabbeinu had to explain to the Jewish people why for the building of the Mishkan, there was a need for Jewish people's contribution. And why Hashem Yisborach did not leave the building of the Mishkan to be made from heavenly contributions, which were available easily, and demanded it goes through the contribution kecharashi idvena libav of every Jewish person. Why was that necessary? And bekitzer amorim, we have to say short, why big topic? Hashem Yisborach built the world for one reason. One reason which the world was built for. All the olamas which Kadosh Baruch Hu made, and there's lots of olamas, were all made for this olam. And the olam which we're in was made for man. And why was it made for man? Because man is the only item which has got a combination of both Ruchni and Gashmi. The Lashon Adam incorporates Ruchni and Gashmi. It's got the Koyach HaTzmicha. It's got the growth power of Adama, but also got the Ruchni Sugin Shoma in it. And man, therefore, has got the capacity of taking physical and making it spiritual. The rest of the world is predefined. We have physical phenomena, we have spiritual phenomena. The spiritual phenomenon does not become physical, and the physical phenomenon does not become spiritual. The exclusive entity in the world who can convert physical to spiritual, that's man. And that's why man is the center of all the olamos, and that's why man is the purpose of the creation. When Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to make v'shachanti b'yisrael, he wants to bring a mishkan to Klal Yisrael. What the Mishkan for Klal Yisrael is bringing the Kedusha down to Klal Yisrael. Of course Kadosh Baruch Hu can make Kedusha, but that's not his aim. What's Hashem's aim? That we should take something Gashmi and make it Ruchni. How does one take something Gashmi and make it Ruchni? Hartgewaltig. Now with the Pshat Zeposha. We mentioned earlier that the contribution which the Jewish people are bringing over here, the contribution which the Jewish people are bringing over here, they did not earn themselves. They didn't do business. The only way they got it was either Bizas Mitzrayim or Bizas Hayom. And Kadosh Baruch Hu could have sent, therefore, the money separately into a kupah, into an account, specially for tzedakah. They could have sent the gaboim at the yam, will you please take not only for yourself, put a separate kupah for the shul. Make a kupah for the tzedakah. Kupa for the Mishkan, no problem. Yes. Money which has not been converted from Gashmi to Ruchni is not going to build a Mishkan. What did Rashi say the first word? V'yikuli lishmi. It's got to be lishma. You know what lishma does? Lishma means like this, listen carefully. There's nothing which a man gets attached to more than, quote unquote, his money. It's a bit serious. People that don't have money don't understand it, and they're all sure when they have money they'll be able to part with it easily. That's only till they get it. When they get it, they suddenly get a new yetzirah they did not appreciate before. Well, you know, and after all, we've got to calculate and reckon. It's a whole cheshbon. What is it, in short? When a person owns, there's a difficulty to give. But that's the yetzirah. The yetzirah tells them to give. Converting the feeling of ownership into feeling of giving. Not only a feeling of giving, like we said before, but appreciating, I haven't lost, I've gained. That's making Gashmi into Ruchni. It's taking something with the default, the natural mass of his physical, making spiritual out of it. Make spiritual out of a physical phenomena. That builds a tashtit. That builds an infrastructure. We can have a Mishkan. So what was the Mishkan built from? The Lishma. The doing, the mat. Contribution Ishma. If it had not gone through Adam, it would be impossible. This is all going into a Dabra al Bnei Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people, why I want your contributions. I'm not short of money. I can make a Mishkan without you. I've got plenty of other ways of doing it. But I want you to do it so it should be something. Gashmi made it to Ruchni. And that's why it goes according to Kacharashe Yidvenu Liboy. How much the heart is Menadev. Everything depends on the Nidvas HaLev. Taking that one step further, HaKadosh Baruch Hu connected the Mishkan not just to one person, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu connected the Mishkan to Klal Yisrael. We have to explain this a little better. The Torah was given at Mamar HaSinai. Who was the Torah given to? Was it given to a Yochid or was it given to a Tzibur? To Dava Poshet. Each Yochid v'Yochid, each individual was accepting upon himself the Torah. And a Yochid who didn't, that's the Pasuk in Nitzavim, if you remember. The person doesn't want to accept the Olah. So the Torah was given to each individual person. But it wasn't only given to each individual person. It was given collectively as well. And there's a difference between something individual and collective. If you would take the whole Maisa of the Mishkan, can one person make a Mishkan? Not only can he can't afford all of it, he didn't have the Chochmah, he didn't have the capacity. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a din of V'osu Li Mikdash that everybody has to make. There's nowhere one Yochid saying, listen, I'm rich, and I'm a good artist, and I know how to do it, I'll do the whole job myself. That's not a Mishkan. That's a personal Jewish home. That's a Mikdash Ma'at. That's your home. Mikdash Ma'at. But a Mishkan, you know what a Mishkan is. A Mishkan is bedatka, a combination of what was created by a whole Tzibur. That's also a Mikdash. Again, there are private homes. There are public institutions. Mishkan, by definition, is a v'osuli mikdash. It's got to be made by the Tzibor. Not only is got to be made by the Tzibor, if it was so happened that the Tzibor didn't join in, it's not a Mishkan. This idea of understanding that the Torah is not just a personal responsibility, but it's a communal responsibility, is the first connection between Matan Torah and the forthcoming contribution to the Mishkan. Because it works out like this. The same as the Havdil. We'll take a picture of Chet. There was Chet or Egel. You could say each person who did the Chet didn't intend doing the Chet or Egel as part of a group. He didn't make a group of it. He made a person. He himself did a Chet. And he did a Chet. And somebody else did a Chet. But you know very well that the Chet or Egel was not Nerach by Kodesh Baruch Hu as Chet HaYochid. It's Chet HaSibur. It's a Korban Sibur. It's Chet HaTzibur, that's what goes through all the Tzibur throughout the generations. So it shows there are things which are Yochidic and there are things which are Tziburdic. That's in the Tzad HaChet. In the Tzad HaMitzvah, you also have both sides. Mishkan is something which Bedavka is Tziburdic. You can't have a minion of one person. You need Tzibur, so everybody contributes to it. You can't have a Mishkan without Tzibur. Tzibur, everybody contributes. That's the other base of the content. There is a bechina in Torah that everybody has to be involved. When we say everybody's involved, it means more than just everybody contributes. It means that if you would take a ultrasound of the Mishkan and analyze each detail in the Mishkan as you kind of get it, maybe a giga counter, a special counter, you will see in it Reuven and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda, because everybody contributed. And you would see in the whole Mishkan a representative, even minute, but yes, a representative of each individual person. One person had the Aron HaKodesh, and one had the Mishkan. Well, everybody had the Aron, we'll see later. One in the Menorah, one in the Shulchan, one in the Chotzer. Everybody had some involvement in that Mishkan. So if you would be able to look at it, you'd see that it kind of represented all the Jewish people. Let us, for a minute, take a picture of the whole Mishkan itself and find that there are certain things which artistically are almost integrally necessary. There's also quite a lot of things which would look to us superfluous. When you go through the parsha of Terumah with all the Rashis, some of the details look very technical. Some of the details look very technical. When you get to the fact that you need 50 lulois, 50 loops, to hold the curtains together, and you learn that, you think 50 loops is quite a lot. 49 is not enough. And what happens if you made 50 loops, but one wasn't tied? Sometimes happens by accident. The button of your shirt is not tied. What happens if one loop is not tied? You know what happens? The whole Mishkan doesn't work. Shortcut it. It doesn't go. Doesn't go. It's like you have a huge computer with lots of wires and kilometers of beautiful machinery in there. One connection missing, the whole thing doesn't work. A Mishkan has to be Gohar. The Mishkan's got to be complete. It only operates when it's full. When there's one iota missing, the smallest iota, it doesn't work. Why is that? Yekish guide? No. That's not what it is. It's not that. It's something far deeper. Please listen. Shteit in Chazal. The Mishkan is oimed keneged the oilam. The Mishkan is oimed, is a parallel to the world. If you could only look at the world correctly, you would find that every part of the world is connected in some way to this Mishkan. And in the same way, as you quite easily understand in the world, that if one of the details, of the millions of details, of the Bria would be out of proportion or missing, not only it would be missing, but all the balance would be lost. The balance of the whole Bria would be lost. It's the same with every detail in the Mishkan. Do you already appreciate that when we're talking such a Nusach, if the Torah were made for Yisrael, and the world was made for Yisrael, and the world was made for Yisrael, and this is the idea of the Shekhinah, V'shachanti b'soicham, everybody has to be communicated. It turns out that everybody's involvement in the Mishkan is a way of everybody's involvement in keeping that world going. This is the kiyum of the olam, to understand how much the Mishkan is not only a tzibur thing, it's identical to the issue of the world. I'm going to make a maimer hamuzger. We are not going to offer any opinion about the big movement today on ecological balance. There's an international movement, others hold exaggerated, others hold different, about the overheating of the globe and many other issues. And they say this is Kilo, they make a whole project, the Greenpeace people, on this topic. We're not going to discuss either right or wrong, how should I know? But we want to use the Musar, the Ashkofer. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed this in these days is very simple. What's their message? Their message is, every time you light a fridge there, which has got the wrong gas inside it, you're making a bigger hole up there in the ozone. Do you doing damage? You think you're lighting your fridge there, Dreikishkin cup. What you do, you're destroying my world. I'm destroying your world? Live your own world. I'm living my world. No, you're destroying my world. You switch on your car with the bad fumes, Shem Yerachim, what you're doing. There is a movement, I don't know exactly when, in the near future, they want to have an hour blackout throughout the world in certain cities to save a little bit of the ozone. I don't know if they're going to do it or not going to do it. I hope they won't black out our place, because that makes a hole in the ozone. But it's partial like that. But in their ideas, what is the idea that suddenly a topic came up on the agenda of the world, which hitherto, you can ask the older people here, we never heard of that. Until 5, 10 years, nobody ever heard of all these things. They existed, but nobody made a fuss. Today, it's a Nobel Prize issue. It's a world issue. What's happened? The Teretz is Poshe, Hetrim Shloime. The Teretz is Poshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to prepare minds of people, not for this, Mishikas. This is going, it's only emotional. That people should understand that their actions have an impact on the world. Also, mitzvah achas hechias kol ha'olam lechavzchus. Also, aveira achas hechias kol ha'olam lechavzchus. What to get the people to understand there is such a mussar. Your actions don't only have impact on you. You're not such a small thing. Your actions have a spiritual impact on the whole world. No, that's a long trek to tell a person who's going to understanding. He has to have the imagination to see it. So he's going to get used over a certain amount of time to the idea that every time he does the smallest physical activity, he's endangering the whole world. Yes, he's... Oh, wait a minute, then he doesn't understand. Switching a lighting on Shabbos is even a bigger destruction. Not doing a mitzvah, speaking Lashon Hara, is even a bigger destruction. And doing a mitzvah, that's the biggest tikkun you can possibly do. Do you hear what's going on? It's trying to train people's mind in the direction of Torah Dekashkova. Of course, through outside mediums, which are only Misholim. Some people get stuck in the Greenpeace, some people get to the Ems. I'm convinced of it. Some people get the emes from it. Because that's the insight behind it. To know what's really going on in the world. That's the emes. That's the inyanenu to unser Mishkan, the Heilige Mishkan. The Ramban points out a tremendous idea, which is basically the Loshen of a Pasuk and a Medrash. On Pasuk Yud, Kaf He Yud, it's written, not the Osi So, but the Osu Aroin Asei Shiti. The Aroin is written, they should make, not you should make. And the Ramban brings down the Medrash, that on the subject of the Aroin, there was an exceptional instruction. What was the exceptional instruction? Everybody had to join in. Every time, all the other kelim, it was enough for a sisa. So it could be in the menorah. Not everybody joined. Some people were in the menorah. Some people had a chedek of the shulchan. Some in other parts. But when it came to the oroin, yovoyu akoil b'yisastu b'oroin. She yisku l'teira. The oroin represents teira. It's impossible that anybody should be left out of joining into the oroin. The oroin is kodesh kadoshim, the holy of holies. That represents Torah. It represents the people's own learning of Torah. It represents the importance of Torah in Klal Yisrael. There can't be anybody who doesn't have a right to join that. Everybody could join. So the Ramban has a question. I don't understand. He says, how much gold was there in the Oren? You're going to divide it into hundreds of thousands of little pieces. There's not enough for each person to have a physical chelik in it. That's the Ramban's. So some people had a chelik in it. Then he goes further. Notwithstanding that some people had a chelik in it, other people would help Bezalel a bit. There was a lot of work in making the oven. They would help a bit. Helping is also making. So those two we understand. But can you imagine what Bezalel's room would look like if you had 250,000 yin all trying to help him there? Yeah? It would look more like a demonstration than like a workroom of making oven. So how many people did he let in? A few people to help him. Says the Ramban, where are all the other people? How did they manage to join in? Says the Ramban, she'oi she'yechavnu le'davar. There were people who gave contributions, but their money didn't get to the oven. But they had kavona to make the oven. That looks very strange. How does kavona to make the oven make the oven? Could be they have good intentions. But if that didn't make the Oren, how does that supply the words Va'osu? So I'm going to tell you over a medrash, which you've got to understand. You say every day the tefillah, Mizmer Shir Chanukah Sabayis Ledovid. Every day we say it. What's Mizmer Shir Chanukah Sabayis Ledovid? The prayer of the Shir of Chanukah of the coronation, is that the word? The Chanukah of the Beis HaMikdash Ledovid. So the medrash asked, the Yalkut asked the question, Chanukah is Habayas Ledovid Lishloime Meboya. Who was the one who built the Beis HaMikdash? Shloime! It wasn't David. So why are we mentioning Mizmer Shir Chanukah is Habayas Ledovid? So it's a long message. The Malkit says as follows. These are the words of the Malkit. He says, David and Melech wanted to build the Mikdash. And he made the Machshava of all the necessity in the Machshavas to build the Mikdash. But Hashem didn't let him build for reasons we won't go into now. Who actually built the Mikdash? Shloime. Says Kishboku, but since Shloime made it, but David HaMelech put the Machshove into it, all the Machshove behind the making came from David HaMelech, says the Medrash. HaKishboku says to David, you know what I call this Mishkan? I don't call it a Mishkan of Shloime, I call it a Mishkan of David. Mizmer Shir Chanukah Zabayas LeDavid. David was dead already. He wasn't even alive, but his machshava went into it. It's his Mishkan. Gewaltig idea of the Medrash. We're going to present a question, an observation. There's another Ramban on it. We're going to on this David in Bamidbar. I want to present a question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized the world very well. Why did Hashem Yisbarach bring about such a scenario that the father put in the machshava, the son did the action, and Nebuch Shlomo made it, but he didn't get his name on it. We don't call it a base, Shlomo called it a base David. And David HaMelech had the machshava, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't manage to make it. He wasn't there by the coronation. He wasn't there by inauguration. That's what we should say. The inauguration, he wasn't there. So why wouldn't it be nice if Hashem would have made it? Either David makes the machshava and the ma'aseh, or Shlomo makes the machshava and the ma'aseh, and they should have the pleasure of the inauguration. Wouldn't that be much sweeter? Hashem orchestrated it so David HaMelech puts all the machshava in. Nebuchadnezzar died. He never made it. Shlomo Melech makes it, and he gets a name. Mizmor Sheir Chanukah Zabayis. Wait a minute, Ledovin. Why? He put the machshava in. Peculiar. Rabbeisai, there's a message here. Boichetik is a beautiful message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a bedavka. Do you know why he did a bedavka? Because if the same person, either David or Shlomo, would have done both the machshava and the maisa, would have done the thought and the maisa, then we would have imagined, okay, machshava is extremely important. But the ikka is the maisa, the ikka who made it. And so the person who made it and had machshava, you would say it's important he had a lot of machshava, but the most important thing is he made. Hashem wanted to indicate, he wanted to demonstrate it's a mistake. When you have maisa and machshava, do you know which is more important? Not the maisa, the machshava is more important. How is the only way of demonstrating it? Split. It would be a pitzul. The one who had the machshava didn't do the maisa. The one who did the maisa didn't have the machshava. Now let's see, who do we call it after? We say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. Now we've got a gilui that what's more important, the maisa or the kavana? The kavana. Not only it's more important, if the Novi says we call it the Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, it means that the machshava of David made it. Now going back to our beautiful Ramban, which he said before, how did he make this Orem? He says some people contributed, some people physically helped, and what did the others do? They put in kavona. You know what type of kavona they put in? Dovra Merach type of kavona. It wasn't just technically they put in kavona. Then it wouldn't be miskayim the va'osu. But if the Torah says va'osu, and we call it, they made it, and they didn't make it, it was a machshava which makes. So in the Mishkan we also see that the most determining factor is the machshava. They contributed machshava. We yet have to see what kind of machshava has to be contributed here. And here we have to go to a stage which is far deeper than this. Next stage. Give you an example. A child, Be'ez Hashem, is born. B'shal Toivu Mitzlachas. There's nothing more beautiful than a newborn child. One sees the Niflos, Abayra. Everything is so, you agree? He's just had a child. So then you see the child is beautiful, is sweet. Everything is proportional, everything is so well worked out. It's all miniature. You see the development. It's really beautiful. Child gets older. Usually in the first few years, the chain and the beauty increase. And with the advancements of the years, certain other things slowly set in, till in the older age, as the person gets older and older, he starts withering away, and he becomes less and less independent, and he comes back more or less like the child was the chetchila, that he's been looked after by others, till a neves, and that's more or less the Seder Habriya. How come that the body starts so perfect, so wonderful, and blossoms forward for a certain amount of time, and then starts to, you might say, lehit kamer, it starts withering. What's going on here? What's the pshat? We want you to understand a concept here. Hashem Yisbarach built man for a purpose. He's got to create something. What you have to create is not the physical things of the world. The physical things of the world, that's not your purpose. You've got to do physical things. But your tachlis in building physical things is the koyach hamachshava you can put into them. Is the energy of kavona you can put into it. The amount of spirit you can put into the physical. The real measurement of what's achievement. We say on physical things you have to check their density. You see how much physicality is really inside it. High density, low density. You know what's the way the Torah measures? What's the density of machshava in your maisim? The more machshava, the more spiritual. How spiritual is it to do the maisa? Chofetz Chaim did a maisa, and you do a maisa. They're the same action. Oh, but Chofetz Chaim did a maisa was spiritual. And we did a maisa, maybe a bit of machshava in it, but very little. Chofetz Chaim put heavy machshava into everything. He used to say, when you pay a taxi driver, don't just pay him. Be mechaven, the mekayim, the mitzvah, the yoimoy, titan schorah. It's a gewaltige mitzvah. It is mekayim, the mitzvah. What machshava went into it? Every action which the Chofetz Chaim did was one of the tired mitzvahs. Kavona, machshava, that took his whole day. What does one do with the machshava, with the maisa mitzvahs and the machshavas which we do? In Chazal, as Mavur, we are creating a koima. There is a koima of a person. We would say a structure of a person, which is the real person. The real person is not what you see here, the blood and flesh. This, which you see, is the keli of the real person. It's the tools of the real person. The real person has a robot, and that robot has to produce something. Yeah? Who is the robot? This is the robot. The physique of the man is the robot for the real person to be created. Every maisa mitzvah one does creates the other masholim. If you could see with your own eyes the man who is being made, the more the man grows in Torah and Yerushalayim, does more mitzvahs, he's making more of a man. Do you want to hear it in sharp lashon? This is for you, Rabbi Aaron. You're making a goyim. Yeah? That's what you're doing. You're making, like the Maharal. You know the famous story of the Maharal who made a goyim? There you are. You're making a goyim. Every Torah mitzvah you do, you're adding to part of that goyim. To the feet, to their hands, to the heart, all the various parts of it. If a person does an aveira, he's chopping up his goyim. He does an aveira, say, we're making a goyim and we're breaking a goyim. Make your breaking. That's what we're spending our lives doing. Can you ever see it? No. You never see it. You never see the goyim. But that's the pshat, what the baby is. The baby starts off with perfect. Bez Hashem, we should all be healthy. But normally a child is born healthy and goes on. Things happen in between. But the pshat, that's his keli to do something with. And as he gets older and older, we put chatoim apart. Let's say no chatoim are done. Then the body becomes weaker because it's already made. As a child is born, his body is his keli for his avodah. Keli has to be perfect. When you go to a shop to buy tools, you get perfect tools. You start to misuse them on the way, then the tools get ripped. You can mend them in between. That's going to a doctor. As a person gets older and older, we're not discussing old age and illness which comes from aveiros. We're talking about balei tzaddikim, yirei shemayim. They also, like the doctor tell you, they deteriorate in health. They've done their tikkun. They need less tools because a great part of their activity they've done already. They need less tools. They don't need all the tools. That's all. Those tools they don't need are that's the chat. Oh, but you're making an item. Do you think you can see that with your eyes? You can't. You know what Hashem did for them after the Kabbalah Satera? He says, you know, we're going to do something now. We're going to do something, a real project. Every one of Klal Yisrael are going to join in making contributions to a Mishkan. And this Mishkan is going to be a communal activity of everybody. That it will be, as it were, a representation of the communal effort converting into an entity. But this entity will show, as said earlier, that if something is missing, the whole operation doesn't work. Which is an indication what Taryag Mitzvah is supposed to do for you as well. You are creating your Golem, which is parallel to your Mishkan. You've all heard the Lashon of Chazal, of the Pasuk, V'asu li Mikdash, make for me a Mikdash, V'shochanti b'soicham, and I will dwell, not in the Mikdash, b'soicham, inside them. B'soich kol echad v'echad, Chazal say. What does that mean? Every Yid, when they made the Mishkan, got an extra bit of Mishkan inside him. By making the Mishkan, he became more Kodesh. By making the Mishkan, bilvavi, in my heart, Mishkan evne, you know the Niggun. I'll build a Mishkan. Beautiful, he likes the Niggun, yeah? We call it beautiful. Does it does. That's the build. How do you build in your heart a Mishkan? The Pshat is the heart being the center of this Goylam. This is the control panel of the Goylam. You're making a complete Mishkan. But a Mishkan without the Olam is a Mishkan. And a Mishkan without a Shulchan is no Mishkan. And a Mishkan without all the necessary parts is no Mishkan. You're a builder. And when a person builds, you've got to make sure it's good, it's full. You know the problem of spiritual building is you can't see anything. You know what Hashem did? Before going to the days after Chetah Egel, Reb Aaron heard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them an actual tangible thing, the Mishkan. They could see in the tangible thing that it had to be Bishleimus Godel, and when it was Bishleimus, it achieved. Which is the same thing which they had to do, each person with his own Torah mitzvahs. Your Torah mitzvah to make a Mishkan has to make a whole entity. As we said earlier, the world is connected to the Mishkan. But it doesn't only stop there. Man is connected to the world. You've ever heard the Chazal? That every man is a Olam Koton. Chazal said, Perkei Ovis Rav Nosson, every man is a Olam Koton. Says the Malbim, what's the example of a man being an Olam Koton? How would you understand it in real terms that a man is a small world? And what are you like a small world? Where is your small world? What part of the world are you in? He gives a muiridik marshal. This marshal is so deep and broad and widespread and brilliant. He says like this. He says, you've got a picture. It's an imaginary idea, of course, but the picture is very clear. He says, there are two types of musical instruments. You want to make an orchestra, but there's two types of musical instruments. He says, one at one end of a room, and one at the far end of a room, completely opposite end of a huge ulam, of a huge hall. There's only one operator here. There's only one operator. So if he's on this, maybe drum or whatever it is, this kele, on this vessel of music, he can't work on the other. And if he's working on the other, he won't work on the first. You know what the eights that they made? They made a string connection, that's what he presents it, between the two musical instruments. And the musician sat by the small little musical instrument, he played away there, and pile-ploim, as he was playing there, the other, not only the actual instrument he was working on, the instrument at the other end of the hall, which was very far from him and completely out of his reach, but because there was these strings attached, all the activity he was doing on this made an impact there. He says that a beautiful symphony orchestra was coming out. People were thinking, phew, you see that huge, beautiful musical instrument is operating by itself. Nobody saw the strings. Nobody noticed the strings. They saw a musical instrument running by itself. Who knew that the music instrument running by itself is being run by the one over here making music? Says, the only way you'll find out is when the one there in the corner making music on the small vessel is stopped making music. And suddenly the other stops. Say, hey, what's going on? Why should you stop? What happened to you? You're an automatic one. Here we stop. Oh, they're connected. Says the Heilige Malbim, a Muiridike Marshal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, and the world has got a Muiridike Erech of Teva, nature. There's a whole Malacha working there in the world. And it appears to work independently. We know it's not true. We know, Api Chazal, Api Atirim, Loi Berisi, Yoimim V'Lailosh, Chukas Shamayim V'Oros Lesamti. Without suitable spiritual input, the physical world is not operating. Have you any way of proving it? No. Because if you try to prove it, you know the result will be. The only way of proving it is Chas V'Shalom, if all the spiritual activity comes to a standstill. And if it did, Im Loi Berisi, Yoim V'Lailo, Chukas Shamayim V'Oros Lesamti, the whole thing will collapse. And therefore people can never see. Wait, don't be daft, I tell you. You say, that little guy in the corner in the Beis HaMidrash, he's keeping the world going. And you'll never be able to prove it, because if he stops, it'll be too late to prove. Okay? And that's the Oymek Inyan, which he says, what's really going on in the Bria. He says, where do we see that in the way that a man is an Oylem Kotam? He says, here is a connection point of the man to the Oylem Kotam. If each man is an Oylem Kotam, is connected to the whole world and makes an impact on the world, like we gave before the ecological example, there's no man whose spiritual world, the spiritual activity, doesn't leave an impact on the spiritual ozone. He either makes a hole in it, or he makes it better. Either brings in radiovioret or it keeps out the radiovioret. By his toyom, it's as simple as that. That's the real ecological business. We're also in the ecological business, but the real stuff. In the real business, yes, the real one. That's what's really happening. Can you prove it? No. You won't get a Nobel Prize for it, because there's no way of showing by science the connection of one to the other. But what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do here? He told you, you make a Mishkan. The Mishkan is a representation of the whole Bria, we said before. Mishkan is represented by each one of Klal Yisrael. And there you have the Olam Kotten being controlled by the people's activity and their machshava and the lishma which they put into it. And we said earlier, without the lishma, the gashmi didn't become ruchni. And there you have, as it were, the communication between the people, their Kabbalah Satayra, their activity in keeping the world going. And seeing the completion. Seeing that you have to have something complete. To explain the completion better, we want to take it a step further. Anybody here who's ever been occupied in buying a house, or building a house, or any such activity like refurbishing a house, I see the smiles coming out there, yet will find that after going to the best architect and taking the best kablan, there's still problems. It's very unlikely that a person gets exactly what he asked for, and it comes out, there's always afterwards another problem which we found, another issue which wasn't handled. You need to perfect things. I want to tell you, it's not only in the physical world, it's in the virtual world as well. History has been made last night. I must tell you, news. Marva Taylor, yes, surprisingly, got a site on the web. Philip Lloyd, the times are really moving. Yeah, you hear Shlomo doesn't believe it. You got a site on the web. Marva Taylor got a site on the web. Don't look it up, but it's there. It's there. Why? We won't go into it. It's a sugya. Der Hashem share why. We have Philip Lloyd. But it's already out. A lot of work and planning and machshava went into it. Everything went into it. And it's not out yet 24 hours. And there's already critique on it. Justified critique. What's a critique for? Because it's a man-made thing. It's got to be improved. Not everything's perfect. It's made last size. It'll be made. So even virtual things, you can't make them perfect. You try and make them perfect. You try again, you improve. Knock a missile. Another critique, another improvement. That's why man gets it tonight. But to make it perfect the first time, we haven't heard anything in the physical world which was made perfect the first time. Irrespective of how good the planning was, irrespective of how much money was invested in it, and anybody wants to check what happened in NASA or a lot of other places where great amounts of money were put in to guarantee perfection, and we all know what the consequences were. You can't get perfection in planning Olam Hazeh. Why not? Because Kabbalah wants you to keep doing it till you're perfected. And here, Pillay Ploy, listen what happened. The Jewish people come out of Mitzrayim, and like the Ramban points out, they are all heavy-duty laborers who don't have any finesse in their hands. They're instructed to make an artistic production, and between the time of after Sukkot and Kaf Hei Kislev, not even 2 months, this time they had it all ready. Not only they had the whole Mishkan ready, they had all the clay avoda ready. It is a project which even to study it takes longer than that. Never mind to produce it and to make it. And we're talking about people who had no workshops, and they had none of the facilities which modern science have to assist making such wonderful achievements. They didn't have any of the kalim, they didn't have any of the instruments, they didn't have any of the practice of the knowledge before. We would expect there to be umpteen mistakes and a committee of inquiry after why the mistakes were made. And so what happened? You know what did happen? Pillay ploy. Everything, Miyad Hashem Olai, still came out perfect. So of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu planned it perfect. On that we got no problems. It was very good plans. How come that it came out perfect? And thus state the secret. It's impossible that a physical creation should be perfect. We don't have in history a physical creation which was set up, which came out, certainly made by so many people, so many Shutrim and Kederet Veshutra, so many people involved. Here lied in him, and here lied in him, and you know what happens then. And then, also, a lot of people work on the job, you know what happens. Who coordinated Akitsa? But you know what kept everything in position? There was one thing. Va'asuli lishmi. The greatest achievement of the Mishkan was that since everything was lishma, and everything was nimdad by the amount of machshava and lishma inside it, and the Mishkan wasn't a possibility of making a physical entity. It was a possibility of taking something physical and converting it to spiritual, as I said earlier. That was the whole prerogative of having the right to give to it by making, converting physical to spiritual. There is perfection. In spiritual building, there can be perfection. Because what was lishma went in, and what was lishma was sent out. Bezalel was given, as Ishtet in Chazal, mashma from the psukim, the Beis Halevi, he had a particular sense of taste, smell, sensitivity, to be able to detect in the gold, silver, etc., etc., what degree of lishma was inside it. Not all the madregas were your madrega. There's the higher ones, there's the lower ones. Your madrega is special madrega. Somebody else might be less. The higher madrega stuff went to the better places. The less madrega to other places. No machshava, bachutz. Wasn't accepted. You could not accept anything without lishma. He didn't build with gold. He built with gold, which was a machshir, which was a medium to make the lishma. It was gold converted into kedusha. This famous sefer, Chovos HaLevavos, has got a Shar HaBitochen. Worthwhile learning. Great thing. He tells there the story of the people in his times used to believe in alchemy. Don't understand why they believed it, but there were such people who claimed that they could convert sand into gold. And you bring them sand and they produce gold, and they were alchemists. Very popular business, you can understand yourself. Price of gold got up. It's a business. And he discusses there that the Baal HaBitochen is better off than the alchemist. Why? Because the alchemist also requires certain conditions to do it. And Baal HaBitochen, Kadosh Baruch Hu, looks after him. We're using that as a mishkal, of a marshal, of what the mishkal was. Do you know what the mishkal was? It was alchemy. But it wasn't making gold out of sand. It was making kedusha out of gold. That's what it was doing. It was making out of silver kedusha. It was converting the gashmi into ruchni. That's real alchemism. And you're an alchemist every time you take some gashmi thing and make ruchni out of it. You're an alchemist. That's new. You're making real stuff out of it. Because there you can get the perfection. The only perfection that exists in any food, in any clothing, in any physical activity, its perfection is only when it's made into spiritual. You know why? There's no clothing which lasts forever. The best shoes get worn out, all clothing gets worn out, and all physical things get worn out. Spiritual blives and netzach netzachim. Spiritual ruchnistic things remain forever. They don't get tired, they don't get worn out, they don't get corroded, they are netzach. They go on forever. They're eternity. That's the golem which you are making. That's eternity. How do you convert temporary to eternity? Lishma. How do you convert gold into ruchni? By giving it, not by holding on to it, by using it properly. But it depends how you give it. You give it because you have to give it? No. You give it because you understand you're taking as a prerogative to receive. That was the ruchni to get built. Now we're coming back to understand what's v'osuli mikdash v'shachanti v'soichem. And we started by bringing down at the beginning of Moshe Dikenyan that it's after the Ramban has informed us that in order to become geulim, to be properly redeemed out of galus, it's not enough to be out of Mitzrayim, and not enough to accept that you must have a mishkan. And we understand you must have a mishkan at a particular level, but what was the contribution ingredient? And now we see the whole piece called the Hoya Mishkan Echad. You see it all fits together. Because the idea of going out of Mitzrayim and receiving the Torah was the Mishkan incorporated, integrally incorporated contribution, which was, because the Mishkan is the expression of showing that what a person makes, do you know what you make in your life? Not the buildings you build. It's the spiritual tzura which you're creating. You are using your body which as a keli to build a tzura. That's your own new tzura, and that's the tzura of Tchias HaMesim, and that's the tzura of, which incorporates your body, because your body was the keli. But it's the tzura of Tchias HaMesim, tzura of Eilim Haba, that's the tzura amiti of the Adam. It's a whole koima. That koima which you're building is exampled in the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the conversion of Gashmi into Ruchni. That's Geula. You know what Geula is? Geula is where you're not anymore linked to Gashmi. Now we'll go back to the Ramban, and we'll tell you a deeper pshat than we've told you in the past. A real deep pshat. Michoel remembers that the Ramban, in his Hagdoma to Shmois, starts off by saying that when they went out of Mitzrayim, they're not Geulim, even though they went out of the servitude, because they are in a country which is not theirs, and they are lost in the Midbar. Then he says, but when they came to Har Sinai, and Kadosh Baruch Hu made the Shechina, and he brought the Mishkan, then they are considered Geulim, they are considered redeemed. And the obvious question is, the Reisha and the Sefer don't stem. In the Reisha, he says, why when they went out of Mitzrayim, are they short of being called Geula? Because they don't have their own country. And then he says, but when they had the Kabbalah Satorah, and when they got the Mishkan, now they are Geulim. But they still don't have their own country. They're still in a Midbar. That's the problem which you've quoted before. They're still out of the Midbar. So we have mentioned before, correct pshat, that Shteita, Klor, and Ramban, that the whole problem of not having a country is if you don't have Torah. But if you have Torah, you have an international passport. You're not connected to any particular country in the Midbar like anywhere else. You don't need your own Dalat Amas. It's a mitzvah to have Yisrael as one of the Torah, but it's not a necessity to be considered out of Golus. You're out of Golus, in Golus, with or without Torah, not without a country. But now we have a much deeper pshat. Much deeper pshat. The Ramban says that when they went out of Mitzrayim, they're still not Geulim, because they don't have a country. They're in a Midbar. It's correct. Because when people are physical, they need a country. But when they made them into Matan Torah, into Mishkan, then they became people who convert the Gashmi into Ruchni, v'osu v'miktos v'shochanti v'soicham, v'soicham kol echad v'echad. In this new status of them being Ruchni, you cannot put him into Golus anywhere. He's not a Golusable person, because he can make Ruchni out of every Gashmi. He's completely umufka from Golus. Golus doesn't apply to him. Golus is somebody who's a Gashmistical person. He's restricted. You can't restrict somebody who everything turns into Ruchni. Don't stick to that. Rabbi said we have to make the Maskonas for ourselves late. Let's make the Maskona. We have a lot of technical details in Parsha Truma, in Parsha Tetzaveh, bit in Parsha Kisiso, v'yakev Bekuda. There is a Rabbi Nebuchaye at the end of Parshas v'yakev, which is worth our looking up. Brilliant piece of Rabbi Nebuchaye, who describes, read out very shortly one of the Nakudas there, he describes the greatness and importance of learning about the Mishkan. And you think it's Stama Mitzvah. The Gevaltige Mitzvah explains of where the big Te'elis comes to Klal Yisrael. The ending parsha is by Yakel. The last of it, Yakel. Hasipur be'inyan ha-Mishkan ve'kelov v'achakira. Every investigation in the Tzura, umuvo, v'shir orkon, v'rochman, v'kemosan, the width, the length, the height, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash Kayam, Gedolohi Ad HaShemayim, it's a mitzvah till the heavens. And you get Gevaltik Schar. And Chazal said that everybody who's occupied with Karbonus, and he puts them on his heart, it's as if he brought a Korban. Similarly, it's the same, that if you talk about the Mikdash, it's as if you've built the Mikdash. And he says, that's even if you only know their technical details. Kavachoyim if you're zeichet to understand their remez, or any of the nister. And he brings a pasuk which you all know from the Shir Shayoyim. The pasuk, soibu tzioin vakifua, mitzvah to go around Yerushalayim and encircle it. Sipru, count migdolah, its castles. Shisu libchem lechela, pay attention to its chel. Pasku armonisea, go and appreciate also its armonis, its palaces. Lemantasapra dorachem. He says the pshat in this passage, one is talking about the nigla, that's the hikifuo, means the nigla of Yerushalayim has got an erech, and the nista of Yerushalayim has an erech. Ubenista Yoshev, and by doing that, we'll be zeicher, v'schus ha-sivuv, v'hekev, v'niglu benista, Yoshev shkinosa l'teicher. We know today, we made a kippah cotton, the whole world over, internationally, they made a yom tefillah. There's a variety of reasons why the Gedolei HaDor called for yom tefillah today. But one of the reasons is, the serious sakona, not politically, but physically, to a lot of the people living in Yerushalayim today. It's a very, very serious problem. There is a current trend in the political movements, for reasons we won't continue to discuss here, but there are trends, to do the same as they did in Aza, leave it and give it over to the Soinim, give it over to the Rishoyim, and doing the same in places next door to the Jewish Yishuv in Yerushalayim, Mamish, door to door next door. We are not discussing why they want to, the fact they do want to. Others say it's already been done. We don't know. I'm not involved in the deals between these people. We do know one thing. The Gedolim say it's a Sogol Yankiv. It's time we go to Mispalo. That's why we made the Kippur Cotton. That's why we made Exit Tfilis. We take seriously the fact that there is a serious threat to the welfare of a lot of Kagasram. He says, you know what helps save and protect Yerushalayim? Parshas Truma. Learning Parshas Truma, Parshas Tzav, learning about the Mishkan, is Mekayim Soivu Tzion Vakifuo. That's what he says here. He says, Sipru Migdaleo, B'schus Asibu V'heke B'nigla B'nister Yoshev Shinosa L'Toichoi. That's the schus for Yerushalayim to be rebuilt. That works in the way which we said earlier. By people increasing their own spiritual understanding. They are the Mishkan. The Mishkan's not outside. The Mishkan's supposed to be in them. They got the mitzvah of giving a Mishkan, so they should appreciate what their mitzvahs do. Your Torah mitzvahs are building a Mishkan. Your Torah mitzvahs are building an entity, a creative entity. The creative entity which you are actually making currently is a Mishkan. As the same as a Mishkan can be seen as an entity, you should be able to perceive. You can't see what you are achieving with your Torah mitzvahs. You're taking Gashmi and making of a Ruchni. Because Baruch should help. V'sachazenu einenu b'shuvcha l'tzioin barachmi.